so we are on item four, update on activities of the Russian River Watershed Association, and we have Mark Landman and Andy Rogers here. Do you want to give an introduction?
As well as Mayor of Town of Windsor, Mark Milan. Pleased very much to have you. They are with the Russian River Watershed Association. And after hearing in the previous item about the, it all comes back to partnerships, that was Bob Larson's kind of concluding comment. I think our partnership, the regional board's partnership with the Russian River Watershed Association is evidence of the value and efficiency of partnerships. And so it's in that spirit that we ask them to come today and present on current activities. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Matt. I would agree, as we were listening to the a rather excellent presentation, we think this is a perfect segue. It was almost as if it was planned. Thank you very much for that.
Surprised ourselves on that.
Very, very impressive indeed. As Matt said, my name is Mark Landon. I'm the vice mayor currently in Cotati, but for today's purposes, I've been a board member for the Russian River Watershed Association for about over 7 years now, and I've been their chair for the last 3 years. I'm joined today by outgoing mayor, or as we like to say, recovering mayor, Mark Milan from the town of Windsor, who's been with us on the board and is our vice chair currently, as well as our executive director, Andy Rogers. And Andy has been with us about 7 years and has been our ED for about the last 3 years. So we've served concurrently and had some exciting times. So we're here today, as Matt mentioned, to give you an overview of who we are, what we do, and hopefully the value that we're working to bring to share all of our mutually shared goals to help get them accomplished in the watershed. So with that, I think I'll look to Mr. Rogers to get us started.
Thank you very much, Mark. Nice to see you, board. It's been, a couple years since we gave an update last, and when we received your invitation, it's always, it gives us a chance to actually look at ourselves and remind ourselves what all the things we do, and so it's fun to put this together. I'm going to take you through kind of the things that we're doing and the things that we're planning to do. So just a simple description of what the Russian River Watershed Association is. It's a coalition, a volunteer coalition of 11 cities, counties, and special districts in the Russian River watershed that we've come together to coordinate regional programs for clean water, habitat restoration, and watershed enhancement. So our current members, there's 11 agencies, and there they are, all through in Mendocino County and in Sonoma County. We are thrilled to say that this is our 14th year. So we've had a lot of, I heard the in the last presentation, they revisit their programs every single year, and that's exactly what we do as well. And so all these members are great contributors to not only what we do, but they, as you'll see in our programs, are core participants in making them all happen. So today I'm just gonna go through an overview. You probably don't need to be briefed on too many watershed facts with the Russian River, but I'll mention a couple. But our role in the watershed is what I wanna focus on, how we're set up, and then the programs, kind of programs we're undertaking. So here's our facts slide. So we have 1,500 square miles, very diverse land uses, two major reservoirs. The 110-mile length of the river is often cited, starting up in the Redwood Valley, and kind of going out at Jenner. Around 360,000 people, and then we have our numbers of streams and creeks, and very important fish that comprise our this is our region. This is how we think of ourselves. We are not bound by jurisdictions. We're bound by the watershed boundary, and it's a very different way to look at things. So why are we around? We exist to serve the interests of our member agencies. It's really that simple. So they are our members. They direct us through our board of directors and our technical working group, which we're going to tell you a little bit more about in a second. Our meetings are open to the public, and we partner with other groups, and we're going to tell you a lot more about that too. But how we serve those interests really comes down to two ways, and that is the members pool resources and they put together and leverage the expertise that is throughout the agencies. So if someone's a particular expert in one field, the other agencies get to benefit. And so the RWA gets to tie those together. So this is a graphic of all of our logos, essentially. But it's really important to point out that we have our core membership, but I think every single year we can more and more claim some successes with our regional partnerships with other agencies, nonprofits, certainly regulatory agencies, the North Coast Water Board being a central one, and citizens participate as well. How we're set up is we have a board of directors, which are made up of electeds appointed to our board from each of the member agencies. And each agency also appoints a technical working group representative that meets 8 times a year. The board meets 5 times a year. And then there are all kinds of subcommittees that the technical working group forms, which may be other folks in the agencies or the same folks. So we have quite a few meetings during the year, and like I say, we notice all our technical working group meetings and our board meetings, and so they're open to the public. Executive director staff is myself, and then I have one or two others that help me with running the association. Our fiscal agent is the city of Ukiah, and so that is... they have been a wonderful administrative partner, providing very responsive service to all of the agencies at very, very minimal cost to all the agencies. And our budget is 100% from the agencies. They all derive their funds in different ways depending on how they're doing things, but it's a pretty important point to make. So our annual work plan is divided into 3 categories. I'm not going to go into great deal of detail, but we have our executive director services, which kind of keeps the boat running. Our general benefit projects, which essentially means we have projects that benefit all the members equal. And then we have special benefit projects, which are designed to benefit specific groups of agencies within. For example, if there is an initiative in the Laguna de Santa Rosa, those agencies that are involved in that will be participating in that, whereas the upper watershed agencies will not.
And before we move away from the slide, I just wanted to mention, and let's make sure this is working, there we go. This particular structure has a lot of value in that it, more than just being able to process and do the work, it works to really everybody's mutual interests. One of the slides a few minutes ago talked about the interests of the RWA, and I was thinking it's actually the mutual interests we all have. I think all of us have watched in decades as the way we view the watershed, how we treat it, how to keep it healthy, what we have to do as communities, jurisdictions, municipalities, boards to maintain that, protect that, and actually get that work accomplished has changed. And what this structure does is it allows us to have relationships up and down with the staff that do this work, with the boards that are responsible for leading the direction and making this happen, and for the electeds that have to also do this. And I think that value of working together between our various boards has really been very beneficial. The communication and partnership that we've found, and was alluded to actually in the last presentation, really comes from this. And there's also the benefit of a little extra education for us electeds. We do outreach, and we do, as we'll mention later, a lot of Facebook work, so the public understands the needs of the watershed. But it's quite interesting, even us, those of us that elected, sometimes we can use a little extra information on this. And the more we know, the better we can then go back to our mutual communities and share the needs and why we're embarking on the things we're all embarking on. So that's the benefit we've seen from this structure in the last 14 years.
Thank you. So the ROWA does an awful lot in a year, and I just wanted to kind of synthesize down to overall the kinds of things that we do. One of the primary things, and these things could shift over time, the emphasis of the ROWA follows what things are going on, and whether it's drought-related, whether it's flood-related, or other things. Right now, there's a lot of support the ROWA is providing to all the member agencies who have permit compliance tasks in common. And so we're able to allow them to pull resources to help address some of those and there's many programs and requirements, as you know. A big piece of that is outreach. So as a regional organization, we develop regional messages that are relevant locally as well as regionally. And so we have, and this is an example of how we collaborate. This isn't staff developing content around these monthly articles that are written. We actually pass the baton around among member agencies to write articles that we then help get published and distributed through the various media outlets. And they are, you know, some of the papers call us, and if we haven't gotten it at press time, I mean, they're waiting for it. So it's become a very regular things that we're doing. So, and now with the with social media, though, that content, we've just started a social media campaign late last year that I'm going to tell you a little bit more about. And then we're going to also have, we have a high school video contest that the Snohomish County Water Agency really takes the lead on, but RWA, I'll say we get a lot of the credit for that. And so, but that's an example of where the collaboration really kind of wins out. So I'm going to tell you more about that. Safe Medicine Disposal Program, I'm going to tell you a lot more about that. Russian River Friendly Landscape Guidelines also was a collaboration from the RWA and an ongoing program. Low Impact Development Training, which that manual was just updated, and so that's a very important topic this year. And then grant funding, which is one of the biggest evolutions that we've had this past year as RWA, and I'm going to tell you more about that as well. Our articles, I've already kind of taken the wind out of my sail on this slide, but essentially these are written every month, and I think that the readership of this continues to spread, and we're getting now other authors. The Regional Water Board staff have co-written some of these. We've had other consultancies write some of these. So it's becoming even broader input of authors than just the member agencies. But RWA is the distributing force on that. So in social website and social media, something that we somewhat resisted for a number of years, but to be an outreach organization anymore, we have to really be there. And so we took the leap late last year, and it's becoming very successful, and we're really seeing the benefits of having done that. And we're learning how to do it as a region, and benefiting from the agencies that are already doing it, and we're hoping that we're giving benefit to them by reposts and shares and all those things that we do, like and follow, and so all these new terms. But the whole purpose of it is to increase the awareness of RWA and the messages that we want to promote, and getting traffic on our website to look at the content that's produced, so there's value derived, not just at the time, but into the future. So go there, like us, follow us on these various things. It really makes a difference. Seeing those numbers of likes and seeing how the algorithm is changing over time. This is something that I was not interested in at all 2 years ago, but boy, it's really fascinating. And because we are getting more traffic, we are seeing every time we post something, it gives you distribution metrics. It's going further and further and further. So our mission of reaching more people is definitely being successful here.
And I think it's fair to say there's a lot of value in awareness. We think about this. We remember back, how many people did we know in high school that were aware of actually what happened to the water when it went into the store drain? How many of them thought, oh, it goes to some plant somewhere where it's processed? But people don't really, even still out in the public, understand this. And this is the value of any tool we can achieve that helps spread that awareness. That works very much for our interests, and I believe all of our interests. And this is a very powerful one for us. It seems to work for us.
So speaking of powerful, the high school student videos, we just completed this awards, and I was wondering, Mark, maybe you could tell about the awards ceremony, and maybe we'll cue them up.
Is it ready?
Just may say
not just yet, but okay. Are we going to watch it right now or after?
Yes.
We're going to watch it right now. Okay. Well, first of all, as a board chair, I'm not supposed to admit to having a favorite meeting of the year. That's probably not fair. That's like somebody saying they like their favorite child. But we actually, I think I can speak for all of us in saying we do have a favorite meeting, and that's the meeting where we get to see what the kids do every year with these video contests. And the whole concept is we come up with something for them to work with. For example, the topic for this year, ditch your plastic, your water's fantastic. And then this is taken to high schools within the water agency region. It's a contest. There are three place winners. They receive decent prize winnings, which are shared. Half goes to the winner, half goes to the school. Participation is strong, and we have an award ceremony where the families come up, the kids come up, and we get to show these. Afterwards, they're distributed online, and they're distributed through local public television, and also can be seen sometimes when you go to the movies in between, you will see these. And what's always fun is to see what youth will do with some of these things. I can guarantee they're always interesting. Sometimes they're funny. But they always impress us with what they do and the seriousness with which they approach it. So with that, I think the best thing is to show what we saw this year.
And Matt, can you get the mic?
Yeah. Is continually monitored, and it is more heavily regulated than bottled water. Yet, bottled water costs 2,000 times more than tap water. So why are you doing this?
This is Jim. Can you spot the difference? Yes, there it is right in there. Jim only drinks bottled water and is a bad, bad man. Mark owns a far superior reusable water bottle and understands that bottled water is on average 2,000 times more expensive than tap water. Jim does not. Nobody likes Jim. Jim claims that tap water tastes bad, but these are false allegations, Jim. You see, Mark knows that most people can't even taste the difference between bottled and tap water. Jim does not. Jim is ignorant. But let's say you're already a Jim. Do not panic. If you have succumbed to your gymness, recycle that bottle and start using various more sensible hydration methods. But you don't even do that, Jim. Over 80% of recyclable water bottles end up in landfills, Jim. So don't be plastic. Your water is fantastic.
Access to clean water is a gift.
Ditch the plastic.
So with that, I think I should give my apologies to anybody here today who might be named Jim. Nevertheless, you can see we get a variety of results. It's wonderful to see the way that young people approach handling these problems. Sometimes they're very serious. Other times they're very thoughtful and thorough. They'll slowly set something up, and they do a great visual way of making their point. Other times they'll just use humor that none of us would come up with, but we all really appreciate. And this is consistently what happens every year with these. So we think it's a very valuable thing. And the beauty of this is when they're working on these processes, they're working with their team of people in their school. I mentioned earlier, young people, when I certainly was a teenager, I had no idea what happened to anything that went into the storm drains. These people do. They have a much better idea of their watershed, how it works, and the appropriate modern ways of dealing with that. And they share that with their friends, and as they grow up, they understand that. So it serves several purposes for us.
So the Safe Mess Disposal Program is a program that's been a core priority for our board for a lot of years. And essentially, it is a collaboration in Sonoma County and Mendocino County on collecting and providing free collection and proper disposal of expired medications for residences. And to date, the program started in roughly 2007-2008. We've collected over 110,000 pounds of pills and medicines, and the program continues to expand. So what happens as it expands, it continues to cost more too. But at the same time, we have the very important job to do. We're keeping these medicines out of both the sewer system and out of the landfill. Drop-off locations are available throughout the watershed, and that continues to expand. And the RWA took it upon themselves to see what else could be done.
Well, as Mr. Rogers mentioned, we have achieved a pretty interesting mark of 100,000 pounds of pills over roughly 10 years collected. But that's only the tip of the iceberg, because what we're not saying is this is done using a program that's barely funded, honestly, that has tried to deal with constantly changing drop-off centers, changes, understandable changes sometimes in regulation. In short, we're barely getting to the tip of this problem. What we've seen every year, the number keeps going up. You know, about 3 or 4 years ago, we used to sit at our meetings and say, oh, this has to level off at some point. There just can't be that much out there. We don't say that anymore because we have no idea, but we know that that 100,000 pounds is a small amount. And I would give you an idea, a rough approximation. Picture about 100 grand pianos. That's essentially the same weight. Or four big yellow school buses, or my personal favorite, 8 adult African elephants. That's roughly the size of what's gone into our environment and ultimately, to a large degree, into the watershed over the last 10 years. But with that, there was a problem. We weren't getting the job done. What we'd like to do is perhaps a good manufacturer take-back program, as we've seen in other regions, other countries, and indeed starting in this state. And we did something different in this county. We used the status of the RWA to do the process backwards. The executive director and myself went to each and every jurisdiction, each city within the county, stated the problem, asked for their support with a letter signing support to send to the Board of Supervisors in Sonoma County to request that they consider doing a safe medicines program, a drug take-back program countywide that would solve some of these problems. And I'm very proud to report we achieved something that you rarely don't see, 100% agreement. Every single city in our county signed on. And some of you are smiling, but you know, getting cities to agree on anything, that's like training cats. It's very difficult to do, and we were able to do that. The value, I think, will be very important for this region. That should be coming into play, I would imagine, this year. Staff's working at the county to get this done, so we will see that. And the next step is the County of Mendocino, which is part of the RWA, is the great interest in us warming that roadshow back up and coming to visit and talk to them about doing it. So we'll probably see this move from our county to their county very shortly as well.
Russian River Friendly Landscape Guidelines is another program that continues to evolve. 7 landscaping principles were developed by a coalition, essentially, brought together through ROWA. There's a guide, and there's all kinds of flyers available in Spanish and English. We have lots of deliverables that are available on our website. We have events every 2 years. In January, we had an event, and they're usually standing room only, sold out events. And I say sold out, but they're free. But yeah, we had 125 folks and change. But the theme was essentially from precipitation to percolation. And we had some really, really great speakers. We had a couple of our agency folks. We had DWR from the Atmospheric Prediction Center. I think it's called something like that. Just how atmospheric rivers work and why they're important to understand. And this was 2 weeks after our January 5th event here. So it was very topical. We were able to see all the diagrams from DWR. It was very interesting. And so then we brought it all the way to BMPs and what landscapers and landscape architects could do to take advantage of stormwater and keep it on site and use it instead of using pothole art. Low impact development trainings, this is something RWA does when there are municipal needs. So we have a training for the LID manual update specifically for municipal staff. But then we had one also, we opened it up for the community, for the engineers and the architects and designers to come and learn about that. And we're very much anticipating, because of the recent update, that sometime this summer we'll be doing another one that will be probably very, very, very well attended. But then we coupled it with a great tour in Santa Rosa of their sustainable education garden at City Hall. And if you haven't been over there, I highly recommend you visit that. It's an amazing learning experience to go see what they've done. For the stormwater program, these are some of the things that we've been supporting the agencies on with permit compliance. There's a monitoring and reporting work plan for the Laguna Mark West that was recently approved. There's a trash assessment report that's for the entire region, for the watershed, that's being put together right now. And there's an outreach work plan for ethnic communities that's underway. That's nearly complete as well. This is all this work plan year. Our outreach campaigns continue to move, and we develop compliance activity summaries because of all the things that we do. We want to make sure that those are useful summaries for all our member agencies for the annual reports to go to your staff. So they're easy to read. This is probably the biggest evolution of RWA 2.0, is that we were successful in getting a grant from the State Water Board, thank you Steve, and preparing a stormwater resource plan for the whole Russian River. This was a really exciting endeavor. We had not, as a region, submitted as on a watershed scale like this. And with the match, it's a $1.2 million effort. There's a lot of folks involved that I'm going to tell you about. But the goal of the Stormwater Resources Plan, and you're going to start hearing if you haven't already, the word SWRP. So that's a new one to add to your category there. SWRP is to identify projects that capture and reuse stormwater runoff to provide multiple benefits. So it's kind of a stormwater IRWM, if you will, for the Russian River. So in addition to our 11 member agencies, we have all those other agencies at the top of the list, the North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. This really was an outgrowth of our really close collaboration with your management and staff. And there's an awful lot of folks involved and excited about this moving forward. We're just getting going now. The contract, I think, was signed by the state last week. So you'll be hearing a lot more about that. So why did we, all this talk about collaboration, I think that is probably one of the main reasons. This is obviously a competitive process statewide. One of the reasons we were selected is, we were told by this isn't just me saying this, is we have a track record, a 14-year track record of working together as a region, that we've been successful in leveraging the collective resources. So I think the state's dollar is going to go a lot farther because of that. And the regional projects are going to allow us to reduce the individual costs and allow for a larger projects as well as the small projects. Along at the exact same time, there's an initiative that You've probably heard that that your agency was successful in securing a discretionary funding grant to develop what's being called the Russian River Regional Monitoring Program, R3MP. Now, this is a development of essentially a body to look at management objectives for monitoring in the Russian River as a whole. Where do we want to go? How do we want to look at the data? And there's been comments earlier about, and so it was great planning putting the Lahontan presentation before us to see what data collection and collaboration could look like and achieve. So what we want to do is address management questions driven by regulatory goals and objectives. So I'm putting this up. This isn't something we're leading. We're just participating, and we're excited about it. So the purpose of it, the benefits, I should say, why would we do this? Why would we want to get together for a whole other reason? Well, we're already getting together. This is the answer to that. And we might as well look at the region as a whole. And we'll be able to assess the monitoring data and results as a region. We'll be able to produce better public reporting and monitoring reports and put them in context. We'll be able to understand the effects of coordinated stormwater management on water quality throughout the watershed. And we'll develop the science to adjust the permit and management practices to improve their performance. So rather than working in silos, we're really looking to zoom out and work as a region, and this would be the structure to do that. It's easier said than done. Everybody acknowledges that. It's going to be a journey, and thank goodness we have this collaboration to start with to make this work for everybody. So things that we're doing for this coming work plan year, which is July to June, so we're starting the next work plan year soon. The core programs that I've gone over, we're going to maintain those. We're going to continue to support the member agencies and their permit compliance. We're going to implement the SWRP. We're going to support development of the R3MP, and we're feeling our oats, and so we're going to go after some more grants because doing all these things costs a lot of money, and I think there are other funders out there that would see this as a good place to invest, and we'd like to offset better, if we could, costs to our member agencies. And we'd like to do that perhaps by expanding the membership. And we are based in both Sonoma County and Mendocino County, and we are available through all these mechanisms. If you don't know how to find that, you know where Matt is, and Matt can find us for you.
So with that, I'd just like, again, thank the board for inviting us here today, and just conclude by saying, any success we might have had, I think, has been based basically on building trust, partnerships within the jurisdictions, all the jurisdictions within the watershed. And in particular, I want to call out your board staff for their support, their regular communication and meeting with us, because I think that's really led to make a lot of this work for all of us. So that should be mentioned. Thank them, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your work and the presentation and the great entertainment videos. I will ask if the board has any questions or comments. Mr. Schuster.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, your presentation certainly rivaled top, so congratulations. That was excellent. First, I wanted to commend you on your leadership on the Safe Medicine Disposal Program. Personally, I think that's huge. I think most folks wouldn't consider the enormity of the problem and the challenge and the potential these pollutants can add to the environment. So I really, really want to commend you on that. I kept waiting for what I thought was going to be a big partner, and maybe just lumped them in with agencies, but does PG&E have a role in any of your activities? Are they part of your funding sources? If not, I think they should be. But obviously, PG&E has a lot of influence on how the water moves through the system. And I was just wondering, I never heard them mentioned, and I'm wondering if they're not involved in your project right now, are they on your radar screen to pull into the future?
So they have not been part of our work plan development. I would say I'm almost sure that they're very involved with the Sonoma County Water Agency and the Mendocino Agency, but that is a great suggestion. That, and my last bullet there was expand membership. Maybe that's a way to go, and perhaps look at grant dollars from there as well.
I'm sure they would. I happen to also sit on the Water Advisory Committee, and I know that, that they are in communication with PG&E along with the Sonoma County Water Agency.
Good. That would be wonderful.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, well, thank you so much. And do we have any comment cards on this item?
No.
No. Is there anyone in the public who wants to comment and hasn't filled out a card? Okay. Well, then we will move on to item 5, which is an update on the state